Welcome back, everybody, for another deep dive. Today, we're diving into a concept that might sound a little strange at first blush, holy war. We're going to be looking at this idea through the lens of the Book of Chronicles, and specifically, we're going to be talking about a lecture by Dr. August Konkol about King Jehoshaphat.
Yeah, Jehoshaphat's really interesting because he gives us a different perspective on warfare. I mean, imagine winning battles not through your military strength, but through relying on God to fight for you. That's the heart of this concept of holy war as it's presented in Chronicles.
Okay, so before we get into Jehoshaphat's story, I gotta admit, the term holy war can be a little bit provocative, right?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
When we hear holy war, we tend to think of, you know, fighting for God, maybe even forcing our beliefs on others. But Chronicles presents a completely different idea. It's God fighting for you. It's God intervening for those who put their trust in him.
Yeah, that's a very different perspective. So tell me more about King Jehoshaphat. What makes him such a good example of this?
Well, the chronicler, the author of Chronicles, really paints Jehoshaphat in a positive light. He was known for his commitment to the Torah, the laws of Moses, and how those laws shaped the community.
So he was like a righteous king, very concerned with spiritual matters.
Yeah, but he was also very practical. He fortified cities. He built up defenses. The chronicler makes it very clear that relying on God doesn't mean you just sit back and wait for a miracle.
Yeah, I can see how that would resonate with a lot of people today. Trusting God doesn't mean we neglect our own responsibility to, you know, be wise and take action.
Exactly. And Jehoshaphat was also a pretty savvy political leader. He collected tribute to support the kingdom, which shows his leadership skills. But of course, things weren't always easy for him.
And that's where things get interesting, right? Tell me about some of the challenges that he faced.
Well, there's this whole episode with Ahab, king of Israel. Now, if you're familiar with the Bible, you know, Ahab was not known for his piety. He and his wife Jezebel often clashed with prophets like Elijah.
Oh, yeah, I remember. They were notorious for defying God.
So how did Jehoshaphat get mixed up with someone like that?
Well, it all started with a battle over a city called Ramoth-Gilead. Ahab wanted to take it back from the Arameans, and he convinced Jehoshaphat to join forces with him. That seems like a risky move for a king who's supposed to be righteous and God-fearing. Did anyone try to warn him?
Yeah, the text actually mentions a prophet named Hananiah who warns Jehoshaphat about this alliance. It shows that even a king who's trying to follow God can make mistakes, can make choices that get him into some tricky situations.
It's a good reminder that we're all human, even the most devout among us. But I imagine this alliance with Ahab wasn't Jehoshaphat's only problem.
You're right. Trouble was brewing on multiple fronts. He also had to deal with a threat from the south. Two powerful kingdoms, Moab and Ammon, had teamed up and were marching towards Judah.
Whoa, a two-pronged attack. That must have been a terrifying situation for Jehoshaphat and his people. How did he react? Did he immediately start planning a counterattack?
Well, this is where we see that concept of holy war come to life. Instead of running into battle, Jehoshaphat does something pretty unexpected. He turns to God for guidance. The text says he lamented before God, you know, really seeking God's will in the face of this threat.
That's pretty powerful. Instead of relying on his military strategy alone, he recognized his need for God.
Right. And it's in that moment of seeking God that a prophet Jahaziel steps forward. He delivers this message. It's short, but powerful. The battle is not yours, but God's.
Wow. Talk about a perspective shift. It totally reframes the situation. It's not about Jehoshaphat defeating the enemy, but about God fighting for his people.
Exactly. And here's where we see a huge difference from how holy war is often portrayed. You know, in Chronicles, it's not about conquering land or forcing beliefs. It's about trusting that God is in control and that he will fight for those who rely on him.
Okay, so we've got a righteous king facing a seemingly impossible threat. He turns to God for guidance and gets this amazing message of hope and reassurance. What happens next? How does he actually prepare for this holy war?
Now, you might expect him to, you know, gather troops, strategize, fortify his defenses. And while the text does say that he positioned troops, what he does next is, well, it's not what you'd think.
This is where it gets really interesting, right? Tell me, what did he do?
Instead of an army, he gathers a choir.
A choir? He sends singers into battle.
It does seem a little strange, right? I mean, music was used in ancient warfare to boost morale or, you know, signal commands. But the chronicler's clear that Jehoshaphat's intention was totally different. He wanted to put God at the head of this army.
So it was like a symbolic act, a powerful way of saying, I'm not relying on my own strength, but on God to deliver me.
Exactly. It's like he's saying, this is not my battle to win. I'm putting God in charge.
Okay. I'm hooked.
Yeah.
We've got this choir marching towards the enemy. What happens next?
Well, picture this. Jehoshaphat leads this procession of singers and musicians towards the wilderness of Tekoa, which is in the direction of the enemy. It's a powerful picture of faith, right? Yeah. Marching into a battle, they have no reason to think they can win, but trusting God will intervene.
This totally changes the rules of engagement, doesn't it? It's not about military strength or strategy. It's about complete reliance on God. I have to know what happens when they finally meet the enemy.
Get this. They don't even have to fight. The Moabites and the Ammonites end up attacking and destroying each other.
Are you serious? A complete victory without Jehoshaphat even lifting a finger? That's incredible.
It really is astonishing. The chronicler emphasizes that Jehoshaphat's forces didn't even have to engage. The enemy just self-destructed, leaving Jehoshaphat and his people to gather the spoils of war.
It's a powerful story. It really makes you think about faith and trust in God.
It does. And this is really just the beginning. There's so much more to uncover about this idea of holy war in Chronicles. We need to dig deeper into what it means theologically, you know, the challenges it poses to how we think about power, what it might mean for us today.
Well, I am definitely intrigued. Let's continue this conversation in the next part of our deep dive. So we've seen that Jehoshaphat's story is this really dramatic example of holy war in action. But what does it all mean? How do we even start to understand this idea of God fighting our battles for us?
That's the big question, isn't it? It really makes us rethink what power and victory really are. You see, in Chronicles, it's not about human strength or military power.
Right.
It's about understanding that God is in control and that he's working, even when we can't see it.
So it's about like totally surrendering control, acknowledging that we're not the ones calling the shots.
Yeah, exactly. It's about saying, God, I can't do this alone. I need you to step in and fight this battle for me.
But that doesn't mean we just sit back and do nothing, right? I mean, Jehoshaphat still prepared his defenses. He still took practical steps to protect his kingdom.
You're absolutely right. The chronicler is not saying we should be passive. It's more about making sure our actions line up with what God wants, seeking his guidance and trusting that he'll give us the victory in the end.
So it's about finding that balance between what we do and God's intervention.
Exactly. It's like a dance. We take steps forward, trusting that God's leading us, and then we adjust as he directs.
I like that analogy. That makes it seem less like we're just waiting around and more like we're working together with God.
That's a great way to put it. And, you know, this whole idea of holy war in Chronicles really challenges some of the basic things we think about power and how it works.
Okay, I'm interested. Tell me more. What kind of assumptions are we talking about?
Well, back then, power was seen as a winner-take-all kind of thing. One nation got powerful by taking from another.
Yeah.
It was all about conquering, controlling, forcing your will on others.
Sounds like a pretty brutal world.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But the chronicler is giving us a different model of power. One that comes from trust, surrender, and relying on God. It's not about getting power for ourselves. It's about tapping into God's unlimited power and letting him work through us.
It's a totally different way of looking at things, isn't it? It's like a whole new way to see the concept of power.
It really is.
Yeah.
And it raises some interesting questions about what it means to truly win. Like, is it always about conquering and dominating? Or could it be something more internal, something about spiritual growth and change?
Those are great questions. And they make me think about the battles we all face in our own lives. You know, we don't usually have armies fighting each other. But we do have our own struggles, our own wars.
Exactly. It could be personal stuff like fear and doubt, or maybe relationship problems, health issues, or even things like injustice in society that we're wrestling with.
So how do we take this idea of holy war and apply it to our own lives? How do we actually let go of control and let God fight our battles for us? It sounds easy, but it seems a lot harder to actually do.
You're right. It's not a magic formula or a one-time decision.
Mm-hmm.
It's a process, a way of living that takes constant surrender and trust. But there are things we can do to cultivate this mindset.
Like what? Give me some examples.
Well, first and foremost, it starts with prayer. Jehoshaphat cried out to God when he was facing those threats. And we can do the same thing. We can bring our worries, our fears, everything to God and ask him to step in.
So it's not about trying to figure it all out ourselves or coming up with the perfect plan. It's about saying, God, I need you in this mess.
Exactly. And prayer is not just about asking for things. It's also about listening, being open to God's guidance. It's about quieting our own minds so we can hear his voice.
It's like tuning into a different frequency, one that gets lost in all the noise of our worries.
I like that. It's about shifting our focus from our limited view to God's infinite wisdom and power.
So prayer is a key part of surrendering. What else can we do to apply this holy war concept?
Another thing is making sure our actions line up with what God wants. Remember, Jehoshaphat didn't just pray. He also did practical stuff to get ready. He got advice from prophets and wise people.
So it's not about just sitting back and waiting for something to happen. It's about looking for God's guidance and then taking action, trusting that he'll work through what we do.
Exactly. And this might mean we have to step out of our comfort zone, do things that don't make sense to us.
Like sending a choir into battle.
Right. Sometimes God asks us to do things that seem crazy to us. But when we trust him and obey, we open ourselves up to his power in ways we never thought possible.
That's when the miracles happen, right? When we let go of our own plans and let God work in ways we don't expect.
Exactly. And, you know, one of the hardest things about all this is learning to see victory in a new way.
Okay, I'm listening. What do you mean by that?
Our culture tells us that winning means being successful, achieving our goals, overcoming obstacles. But what if God defines victory differently? What if it's more about changing on the inside, becoming more like Christ, even when we're going through tough times?
So it's not always about avoiding pain or problems. Sometimes it's about going through those things and coming out stronger.
You got it. Sometimes the biggest victories are the ones that look like defeats. They make us humble, strip away our pride, and force us to rely on God more.
That's a deep thought. And it makes me think about those times when we pray for something and we really believe God's going to do it. And then things don't happen the way we thought they would.
Yeah, we all struggle with that. The whole idea of unanswered prayers, God being silent when we need him.
Exactly. It can be so discouraging. It makes you question your faith, wonder if God's even there.
It does. And I don't have all the answers, but I do know that God sees the bigger picture, the one we can't always see. He knows what's best for us, even when it hurts.
So it's about trusting his heart, even when we don't understand his ways.
Exactly. Letting go of our need to control everything and just resting in his love and knowing he's in control.
This idea of redefining victory is really making me think about my own life and my own struggles.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me wonder if I'm too focused on the outcome and not enough on how God might be changing me on the inside.
I think that's a really important question for all of us. It's easy to get caught up in what the world says is success and forget that God's ways are different.
It's like we need to reset our spiritual compasses and let God show us what real victory looks like.
That's a great way to say it. Yeah. And, you know, this whole idea of holy war can be so freeing when we really embrace it.
How so?
It takes away the pressure of trying to control everything. It lets us off the hook of having to win every battle on our own. It lets us rest knowing that God is fighting for us. He's on our side and he's going to accomplish his plan for us.
It's a message of hope and empowerment, especially for people who are overwhelmed by life's challenges.
It is. It reminds us that we're not alone in our struggles. We have a God who loves us, fiercely cares about our pain, and he can step in and help.
That's comforting to remember. But, you know, we've talked a lot about what holy war means and how it applies to us today. I'd love to hear more about that story we started with Jehoshaphat and his amazing victory.
Yeah, let's go back to that.
Yeah.
It really captures what this whole concept is about.
It does. So tell me, what are some key things from that story that you think are important to remember?
For me, one of the most powerful things is the symbolism of the choir. It's such a strong image of faith and surrender, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It is. It's like Jehoshaphat is saying, I'm not going to fight with weapons and force. I'm going to fight with praise and worship. I'm going to let God's power be seen.
Exactly. It's a total flip of how we normally think about war. And, you know, they weren't just singing any songs. They were singing praises to God, proclaiming his power and faithfulness.
So they were changing the atmosphere, making a space where God's presence could be felt and his power could flow.
Exactly. It's like they were inviting God into the battle, saying, this is your fight, Lord. We're just here to see your glory.
And they did see it. The outcome of that battle was truly a miracle. The enemy armies destroyed themselves, and Jehoshaphat and his people just walked in and claimed the victory.
It shows us that when we really put God in charge, when we let go of needing to control things, he can do amazing things, things we could never imagine.
It reminds us that sometimes the best way to fight is to lay down our weapons, raise our voices in praise, and let God do what he does best.
Absolutely. And the story of Jehoshaphat and his choir also shows us something else about holy war. It's not just about winning for yourself. It's about God fighting for all his people.
Okay, what do you mean by that?
Well, Jehoshaphat wasn't just fighting for himself. He was fighting for his whole nation. And when he surrendered that battle to God, everyone benefited.
So when we engage in this holy war, when we give our struggles to God, the effects of that can go way beyond us.
Exactly. It can affect our families, our communities, even the world around us.
That's powerful. And it makes me think about all the social justice issues we're dealing with today. It's not enough to just pray about them. We need to be involved in finding solutions, working for change, trusting that God will honor our efforts and bring about justice.
You're so right. And I think this is where holy war becomes even more important and challenging. It calls us to get involved in the fights of today, but not with violence or aggression.
Mm.
We fight with prayer, compassion, and being willing to let go of our own plans and follow God's bigger plan.
It's about fighting for what's right, but doing it with love and trusting that God can bring real change.
Exactly. It's about working with God to bring his kingdom to earth, to see his justice and righteousness win in every area of life.
This has been such a good conversation. We've only scratched the surface of this holy war concept. It's so much deeper than I thought.
I agree. And it's something we need to keep thinking about and exploring. It makes us really look at our ideas about power, victory, and even God himself.
It does. Mm. And I think we're going to be talking about this for a while. So let's pick this up in the next part of our deep dive. As we've been talking about this whole holy war idea, I keep thinking about how much trust it takes. I mean, imagine sending a choir out to face a real army. That just seems wild.
It really does go against everything we think we should do.
Right.
But that's the whole point the Chronicler is trying to make. Holy war isn't about our own strength or our fancy plans. It's about completely giving it over to God and trusting he'll fight for us, even when it makes no sense to us.
Yeah, it's like taking our hands off the wheel and trusting that God's the one driving. He'll get us where we need to be, even if the road seems kind of strange.
I like that analogy.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good way to describe what it means to surrender. It doesn't mean we give up or do nothing. It's about actively choosing to trust God, knowing he sees things we don't, and he knows the best way, even if we don't get it.
Which brings us back to the main question, right? If holy war is about God fighting for us, how does that actually work in our lives today? It's one thing to talk about Jehoshaphat's victory, but what about our own struggles, our everyday battles?
That's the tough part, right?
Mm-hmm.
Connecting this old story to our modern lives. But the ideas are still relevant. It starts with realizing we're not alone in our struggles. We have a God who's involved in every part of our lives.
Yeah.
He cares about our pain and wants to help us.
So step one is admitting we need God. We can't win these fights on our own.
Exactly. It's about being humble before God, saying we're not in control, and asking him to come into the mess. And that's where prayer comes in. Just like Jehoshaphat, we can take our worries or fears, our hopes and dreams to God knowing he hears us and cares.
But prayer isn't just about giving God a to-do list, right? It's about getting closer to him having a conversation where we talk, but we also listen. We try to understand what he wants us to do.
Right. It's about hearing that quiet voice inside that tells us what's right.
Yeah.
That voice that gets drowned out by all the noise in our heads.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sometimes what he tells us to do might not make sense at first. Just like sending that choir to battle.
It's about being willing to step out of our comfort zone to do things that seem crazy because we trust that God knows better.
Exactly. And sometimes the holy war God wants us to fight isn't what we expect. It might not be some big external fight or a huge victory. It might be a struggle within us, a fight against our fears, our doubts, our bad habits, the things that keep us from living the way God wants us to.
So it's not always about changing what's happening around us. It's about letting God change us from the inside.
You got it. And that kind of change usually means facing some hard truths about ourselves. It means letting go of wanting to control everything, letting go of our pride, and learning to rely on God. It can be tough, but it's also freeing because we don't have to carry everything by ourselves.
And when we surrender those inner battles to God, we let him work in us. He heals our hurts. He breaks the things that hold us back. And he gives us the power to live more freely and joyfully.
It's a journey of letting go and having faith. We have to trust God's heart even when things are hard or don't make sense. And one of the hardest parts is learning to see victory differently.
Okay.
We think winning means being successful, reaching our goals, overcoming things. But maybe God sees victory differently.
Maybe it's about becoming more like Jesus even when things are tough. Maybe it's not about avoiding pain, but about going through it and becoming stronger because of it.
Exactly. Sometimes those defeats are actually our biggest wins. They make us humble and force us to rely on God more.
It's like when we pray for something specific and we really believe God will do it, but then things don't go as planned.
Yeah. That's a hard one. Trusting that God has a bigger plan even when we don't understand.
It takes a lot of faith to say, God, I don't get it. But I trust you. I know you love me and you want what's best for me.
And that's where the power of holy war really is.
Mm-hmm.
It's about choosing God's will over our own. Trusting that he's fighting for us even when we don't see it. And believing that he'll work everything out in the end.
That's powerful. And as we wrap up this deep dive into holy war, I think Jehoshaphat's story reminds us that we don't have to face our battles alone. We have a God who wants to save us, who wants to help us, and who wants us to work with him to build his kingdom here on earth.
It's a message of hope and strength for all of us who are going through tough times, big or small, seen or unseen. We don't have to fight alone. We We can give it all to God, trust he's on our side, and know he's working things out for good.
And who knows? Maybe when we surrender the fight, God will do something amazing in our lives, just like he did for Jehoshaphat.
Maybe so.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. Until next time, keep exploring, keep asking questions, and keep diving deep.